What do you think it is that would make your life better? Can you think of one thing or one change that would make life better? Sometimes it's easier to think those things for other people, isn't it? What would make Andy Murray's life better? A new hip, one that could play tennis properly. What would make Theresa May's life better? A workable majority in the House of Commons. What would make Donald Trump's life better? Money for his wall. What would make your life better? Maybe it is something to do with your health. Maybe it is to do with your influence amongst friends, your relationships, how people see you and treat you. Maybe it is to do with something you've always wanted, a thing that would make that difference. Well, it's just worth remembering as we ponder the question what Jesus' answer is, isn't it? Jesus says, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So, if life is not about that, then more of that sort of thing won't make the slightest difference. It can't actually help you. Now, turn back over the page to Proverbs chapter 1. We saw in verse 7 of chapter 1 what the key principle of life is meant to be. And it's this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, what will make your life better, what will make your life work, is to have the creator of the universe in his rightful place. To understand who you are in relation to him. Such that your life is driven by him. Such that his priorities and commitments are yours. Then your whole life has the best chance of working, of being better. Let's have that slide up, please, Matthew. Now, we saw in verse 6 of chapter 2 that this knowledge, this wisdom, was revealed to us. It was a gift of God to us. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And we've seen in the previous 2 weeks that in the New Testament, we get a bigger picture of what that knowledge, understanding, and wisdom is. So Paul, writing 1 Corinthians, talks about Jesus as the wisdom, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He describes Jesus as our wisdom and our righteousness, our sanctification and our redemption. So looking from that Old Testament perspective forward, we see that the one we need, the wisdom that we need, is the person of Jesus. He and he alone makes our life better. With him and him alone can life work. So verses 1 to 12 of chapter 3. Hopefully you've got a sheet so you can see where we're going tonight. 3, 1 to 12. Wisdom promises to make your whole life better. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So verse 4. You will find favor and good success in the sight of God and of men. Just look on to verse 17. When talking about wisdom, Solomon writes, her ways, wisdom's ways, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And one of the key components of understanding wisdom and living in it is there in verse 5 and in verse 6. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. We have an inbuilt ability to think, to know that I am right. Well, what does the wise person do? Look at verse 5. Don't lean on our own understanding. We won't do that. Rather, verse 11, we won't despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves. Through the word of God, we will accept and take on board those corrections that we need to the way in which we think, to our self-centeredness, to the way in which we act in ways that I choose and prefer rather than is God's way. And what that leads to, you see, is a life of peace. That word is there in verse 2 and verse 17. This isn't some sort of gooey, marshmallowy, inwardly, fluffily sort of feelingy thing. It's a word that talks about the wholeness and the connectedness and the togetherness of life and our well-being. It speaks of integrity. Integrity that's found within the community of God's people. Integrity within an individual's life that comes from the work of the Spirit in a believer. As he or she seeks to live out and live on the promises of God. Look at verse 3. God is the covenant God. This is covenant language. He keeps his promises. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Make sure they're with you and close to you all the days of your life. And one of the great things about this wisdom, one of the great things about this integrity, is that it is on show and it is evident. And in these opening verses, Solomon goes on to talk about that in the context of business and money. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Wisdom works in the midst of the hustle and bustle and the hurly-burly of commerce and finance. We're to apply wisdom to these areas of our lives just as much as anywhere else. Honor the Lord with your wealth. You see, when it comes to handling what we've got, be that money or possessions or whatever it might be, we're not to pull a fast one on God. Rather, we are to honor him. The principle is that of first fruits. That is, giving first to him, for us ensuring that we're giving before we're spending. It's a principle that Paul will pick up and elaborate in the New Testament. And by doing that, we're doing something very important. We're reminding ourselves that everything we've got is only on loan. Whatever it is we have as a gift. It always belongs to the giver. It always belongs to God. And so we're to use it in ways that will please him. That's what it means to honor him. I remember hearing David Cook, an Australian, speaking at a conference some years ago. And he said that it was our responsibility as Christians to make sure that we teach our bank balance a lesson. Let it know what it's there for. Don't let it control us. It doesn't tell us what it's there for. We tell it what it's there for. Now, in the context of the conference, he was saying, buy lots of my books at the bookstall. That's really what his message was. And teach your bank balance that that's what it's there for. Only partly in jest, of course. But that's a good principle, isn't it? What does your bank balance need to know about your priorities? How will wisdom impact your spending plans? Now, it's easy for us, isn't it, to put off the first fruits. We hear people say, I'll start giving when I've got a proper income. I'll start giving when I've paid off that loan. Might be a student loan, might be a mortgage. But actually, the Bible principle is you start giving whenever you've got something out of which to give. It's much more straightforward. pocket money, allowances, student loans, first paycheck, whatever it is, give. And again, the New Testament's very clear on this. This applies to our regular income. This isn't just when we wait for the bonus and then we give out of that. No, that's bonus giving. That's on top. That's extra. This is ordinary, everyday, week by week, month by month. That's what we're talking about here. And the reason for doing this is because it's good for us. That's the point. It's what God wants for us. It teaches us a growing dependence on God and reminds us that however much or little we've got, we're actually dependent upon Him for everything. Now, it might be that your financial situation at the moment is really rather dicey and it's causing you considerable concern. Well, don't be slow to seek professional advice if that is the case. But remember, however difficult things may be, within that difficulty, you must still honour the Lord with, well, you may not feel as though you've got much wealth, but with your money. So wisdom promises you the best way. Wisdom promises you that in God you will find success with Him and in Him. A way of life that works, a way of life that is marked by integrity, because you seek to live out your devotion to the covenant God. Wisdom then promises to make your whole life better. Secondly, wisdom promises you direction. Wisdom promises you direction. With her, we may walk securely. Back to verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and peace. Verse 23. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. And if you glance over to the beginning of chapter 4, you'll see that this is a way of life handed on through the generations of family. Verse 3 of chapter 4. When I was a son with my father tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and he said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. And I had a story of a friend's father who found his father's Bible. And the verse that was in front of that Bible was the trust in the Lord verse from chapter 3. Generation teaches generation. But before we make progress in this, it's just worth noting, and we've seen this throughout, we'll see it again next time, that there is a way not to go. Have a look at verse 25 of chapter 3 onwards. Just notice the do nots. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of ruin, for the Lord will be your confidence. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Don't plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Don't contend with a man for no reason when he's done you no harm. Don't envy a man of violence, and don't choose his ways. You see, there are plenty of good advice here, words that will keep us in the way of wisdom and out of the way of folly. Treat people as they should be treated. Treat people as you're able to treat them. Don't pursue the paths of the wicked. Don't be fooled by their success, thinking that's the right way to go for you. And you will see people being successful at school, in business, at university, and their ways are just a bit underhand, not quite on the money. And you think, oh, maybe I should take that shortcut as well. Maybe that's a risk that I could take. Proverbs' answer is no. That's not the way of wisdom. Don't be fooled. The do nots matter, because this way is the way cursed by God. We'll see more of that next time. Wisdom will give you direction in the value of things. Verses 13 to 15 of chapter 3. Verse 14, for the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. Who remembers who it was who said this? Nowadays, people know the price of everything and the value of nothing. Who said that? Nick? Oscar Wilde? Which is interesting, isn't it? Over 100 years ago, that would have been said, wouldn't it? And yet it's something we would hear regularly today. It's clearly something that we are constantly falling into, valuing and prizing the wrong things. And as we've said, for most people, life is about possessions and achievements and successes and status and standing. That's what people live for, to be accepted and approved of. What is the most precious thing? What's the most valuable thing? Verse 15. She, wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Let's have the slide up again, Matthew, please. How do we set wisdom over against all those things that we're desperate for and would make life better in our flawed thinking? Isn't Jesus more and better than those things? Think what he did for us. Think what he gave up for us. Think what he suffered for us. Think of the victory he won and invites us to share in. He is our wisdom. He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Shouldn't we prize him above everything? He helps us to work out, therefore, what is valuable and what isn't valuable, what's worth pursuing and what's not. Thanks, Matthew. Then secondly, wisdom will give you direction in the meaning of life. Verses 16 and following. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. In wisdom, in Jesus, is the gift of life. And that's both life here and now, living it to the full, but also it's the life of the world to come. So to get the most out of your 80 years and 10 or however many God grants you, you need wisdom. You need Jesus. To enjoy all the benefits of the world in which we've been placed, you need Jesus to give you the appropriate value on those things, such that you can enjoy them with thankfulness to him, the Creator. Gratitude and obedience go together. And we need him to make sense of that. We need the words he has spoken so that we can get it in the world in which we live. Verse 18, wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. To those who hold her fast are called blessed. God's favor rests on those who hold fast to wisdom, who seek to live by the words of the Lord Jesus. And it seems laughable, doesn't it, that people would try to get the best out of life today without knowledge of the Creator. That's the promise of wisdom, that knowing her, we can value life as we should and find the meaning that we need to. Wisdom, then, will give you the direction of the way to go, verses 19 to 24. Do you know where you're going in life? Do you know where you're headed? And just to say to Anya, the answer to the question is not Muswell Hill in this instance. Verse 23, then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. I'm sure we all feel there are times when we're just bumbling around. Life's not making sense. We're not quite sure what's happening next or where we're supposed to be next. We're fearful, possibly, about the future that lies ahead of us. Insecure about what may be demanded from us or of us in that particular situation. What does wisdom promise us? A life free from those shackles and concerns. I remember talking to a friend some years ago, and he said that he was able to look back over his life through many twists and turns, many ups and downs, and was able to say, God has never let me down. He's done good to me in everything and at all times. That's the gift of wisdom to us. A direction to travel in, pleasing God. A road to walk on, the words that God has spoken. But inform us about our choices in terms of life partner and career. That inform us about the attitudes we need when we're around and with other people. Let's have the screen up again, please, Matthew. Because wisdom says, walk this way. Walk the Jesus way. Follow the Jesus example in all things, all times, and in all places. Just glance across at verse 5 of chapter 4. Notice the imperatives and the urgency of this. Get wisdom. Get insight. Don't forget. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. We've seen before, haven't we, how wisdom cried out to all those different people. And the thing about all those different groups wisdom cried out to is that they're not neutral. They're all heading in the wrong direction. Even the simple is waiting for someone to take them down that track, the wide road. That's why the imperatives are important. It won't just happen to you, wisdom, unless you get after it. Get wisdom, get insight, don't forget, don't turn. There has to be an intentionality about our following. A decision made that, yes, we will live for wisdom rather than. We will listen to wisdom rather than. We will go God's way rather than any other way. We will serve Jesus as Lord. We need to pray that we will have hearts and minds and wills that desire wisdom. Because it's wisdom and wisdom alone that can provide us with the direction that we need in our lives, that can provide us with that meaning that is so important to us. Wisdom, then, a true guide for our lives. Turn over the page to the end of chapter 4, and let's look at verses 20 and 27. 20 to 27. Wisdom promises the healthy option. Wisdom promises the healthy option. There's a sense in which what we have here is a sort of a well man, a well woman clinic. What is required for us to be in good health? What do we need to experience, verse 22, the healing of all their flesh? Well, simply put, we need wisdom. Now, of course, we're not saying that believers never get ill. That's a stupid thing to say. But look at the way in which wisdom talks about our bodies and what our bodies need to be tuned to. The ear, the heart, the mouth, the eyes, the feet. Be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Put away from you crooked speech. Let your eyes look directly forwards. Ponder the path of your feet. Now, the main concern of our author here is the heart. And that's no surprise, is it? Verse 21. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them, keep the words of wisdom within your heart. Verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. The heart is the center of our being. It sums up the people that we are. That's where our desire for wisdom must be seated. That's where the best effect of wisdom will be seen, as it challenges and changes and redirects the very heart of us. And the healthy diet, in verse 20, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. We've had a lot, haven't we, in the press of late about what is a healthy diet, what we need to be eating, should be eating, what the planet needs us to be eating, all of that. Well, that's exactly the concern of Solomon here. What is it that we need to live the best possible life, to live the healthiest possible life? We need the words and the sayings of wisdom. And so you see, a Bible-infused heart, when it comes to words in verse 24, is going to say to us, no, don't say that. No, don't say it like that. No, don't send that. Verse 25, let your eyes look directly forward, your gaze be straight before you. Who might we be attracted to? The Bible-infused heart will say, I'm not going to meet that person after work. And looking at the brochures will say, no, I probably don't need a second skiing holiday this year, do I? The godly life also is worked out in places that we visit. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. A Bible-infused heart will say, no, I'm not going to go to the bar or the club with you after work tonight because it's my small group, because it's Bereans, because it's the prayer meeting. You see, if we walk wisdom's way, we will live a healthy life. Wisdom promises you only the best. A better life, a better direction, and the best health. What would make your life better? Can you put the slide up, please, Matthew? What would make your life better?